Recently, another priest told me that he was invited over to the new house of a couple he knew. And they took him around the house, which was thousands of square feet, and they showed him the beautiful kind of chandeliers they'd put in, and especially chosen tile, and the pool out back, and the beautiful dining area, and they just gave him a whole beautiful tour. And the priest was friends with this couple. And as they sat down for dinner, he said, "You know, this really is a beautiful house that you've built, but it's still not enough, is it?" And their eyes went down because they knew in their hearts that part of this was trying to satisfy something in their hearts where God was missing. And their friend, this priest, in an act of mercy, just convicted them of that by the Holy Spirit. And then dinner went on. "It will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." These words challenge all of us. They challenge most people in America, we who are so blessed materially. They really stir us up. We ask ourselves, am I that rich one? Am I the one who's going to have a hard time passing through the eye of the needle? This gospel should shake us up. We shouldn't be too comfortable. Because of all the different teachings and parables Jesus speaks against sin, perhaps after hypocrisy, perhaps after that one, the thing he gets at the most is greed. Because having money and possessions, having the comforts of life, are one of the most convenient ways that we can anesthetize ourselves to God's plan and to the need of our neighbor, especially poor Lazarus, who's right outside the door. The church's teaching on material goods under the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not steal," very quickly the church reminds her faithful that there is a right to private property. The people do have a right to own things in their own possession, to have them not taken away by just anyone for any reason. But before that is said, there's a higher principle: the universal destination of goods. That's a big long phrase. The universal destination of goods. What it's basically saying is God gave all these material things on earth to be shared among the family of the human race. Everything that can be possessed by a person or a group is first of all meant to be available in some way for the mutual common good of humanity. God has given different people, different nations, the ability to have and possess certain kinds of these goods, but not to be attached to them as if I am the sole possessor of this forever. No, if I have property, if I possess something, God wants me to use it for the sake of the common good, to bless others, to do good with it, to share many things. To not have that in mind is already to fall into the trap of thinking that we are self-sufficient. We go away sad. Remember, yesterday's story was the rich man who Jesus says, "I want you to sell what you have and follow me, because that's even better than what you have. Come and follow me and give away these things that are holding you back." Goes away sad. I do not want to go away sad. I want to let Jesus determine everything in my life. Even the things I own, even my wallet, even my bank account. Lord, it's yours. It's all yours. It's all for our common family of humanity. So brothers and sisters, today, if we are shaken up, if we are stirred up a little bit, if we have righteous indignation at the greed of the world, of how people are in misery and people are living in, well, people own 27 houses around the country, then let us first look at Jesus face to face and believe his promise that whatever we give up for his sake will be given back more in eternal life. And may we ourselves first become poor in spirit and simple in our living so that we can be a witness as well to the world. For men, this is impossible, to trust only in God. But for God, all things are possible.